Hey, today I'm talking the top five classroom procedures you have to have in place now. Harry Wong, the guru of classroom management in his First Days of School book, says the number one problem in the classroom is not discipline, it is the lack of procedures and routines. And I agree with him. And today, I'm going to share with you my top five procedures you should have in place in your classroom now. Thanks for being here. Enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? Check us out there. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Hey, welcome back. Today I'm talking the top five procedures you should have in place in your classroom today. You know, in working with classroom teachers who struggle with managing the behaviors in their classes, I typically find that one of their problems is not discipline, but the lack of procedures. Harry Wong states in his amazing book, The First Days of School, the number one problem in the classroom is not discipline, it is the lack of procedures and routines. He is right. Can't say it enough, this failure on the part of the adult is glaring. Kids want to understand how you run things. They want to know what you expect them to do. When there is nothing there or things are wishy-washy, they insert their own actions. They do what they want to do. When this happens, the teacher often tries to reason, plead, and yell. He or she shifts to demanding their attention and getting frustrated. When what really needed to be in place is a set of procedures about how to do everyday routines. When these are in place, the kids know what to do. Of course, in order to get the kids to use and follow the procedures, you as a teacher have to do the following four things. So once again, you not only have to have the procedures in place, there are certain things you have to do to make sure that they learn your procedures. And so here are the four things that you've got to make sure that you do in order to get the kids to follow your procedures. Number one, tell them your procedures. Number two, practice the procedures. Number three, review the procedures. And number four, practice again. Let me go over that again. These four things, once you identify those procedures as you want them to do, you've got to introduce them to them. And so here you go. You got to tell them your procedures. You got to practice the procedures. You got to review the procedures, and you got to practice again. And it's only through this practicing and reviewing and doing them that they become second nature in the class. They know how you do things. It's important to follow that. So this sounds simple enough, but you would be surprised what issues adults have with creating these. When I have been asked to assist some teachers, I have heard the following. Okay, I know it's not always fun having someone, you know, a newfound friend that you don't ask for, step in and say, "Hi, I'm here to help." But really, that's what I'm here for. I know. If you didn't ask for it, you probably don't want it. But hey, sometimes, you know, it really can be helpful to have someone just come watch and then give you some suggestions. And when it comes to procedures, it's amazing how sometimes people think they've told the kids or they think that they should know about it, but they've really not spent time telling them and practicing. You know, it's funny, but I've had a couple teachers say the following. "I've got this. What I really need to know is how to write kids up. I do that all of the time, this procedure stuff. They just need to do what I say. And look, just show me how to deal with a kid who won't work and I'm good." You know, it's funny because most of this is stuff to try and get me to go away when I'm not going away. All right. And what's sad is that oftentimes people who think they have them in place, they don't. There's more than these comments that I just told you about. But let's move on. I can't say enough that kids want and need to know how you do things so that they can follow your lead. How you do things shouldn't change from time to time based upon how you feel that day. Sometimes the adult will have the kids turn papers in by passing up through the rows, and other times they will drop them off at the desk. So what is it today? That's what the kids are thinking. What do you think she's going to do today, or what's he going to do today? You know. So here are a few pointers about your procedures. Keep them short. Do not have too many. Consistently observe your procedures. No shortcuts. It is a two-way street, which means you must follow the procedures you set. Also, don't say, I'm an adult and I can do whatever I want. No, you have to follow the same procedures you set, because there's going to be some of them that they're going to be looking at you. And then finally, post them where they can see them. So the few pointers about your procedures, you need to keep them short. Do not have too many. Consistently observe your procedures. No shortcuts, in other words. It is a two-way street. You must follow the procedures you set and post them where they can see them. You know, if you have four walls in your room, I'd put a copy of them that they can read. So make them into poster size. I'd put one at the front, one at the side, one on each side wall, and one at the back, so that no matter which way they're looking, they're going to be able to see them. So with all this being said, let's talk about my five procedures you must have in place right now. Now, none of this is set in stone, because obviously you may have a class that you need to change out one or two of these. But here are the ones that I think that are most important right now. Number one, how you start and in class. Number two, how to transition between activities. Number three, if they need to use the restroom while in class, what do they do? Number four, if I'm absent, how do I know what I missed? Number five, how do I turn in classwork or homework? So let's talk about these. My number one procedure that you need to have in place is how you start and end class. Now, I just did a show about this the other day, about how important it is. So I just want to reiterate that you've got to tell them, and you've got to show them, and you've got to practice, this is how I start class. Otherwise, you just kind of meander about. If they know that you waste time by taking roll and you don't really start class, then they know you waste time. And so there's no reason to really pay attention to you until you actually officially start class. So figure out how you're going to start class and teach them and do it that way. It's the same thing with ending class. If you don't teach them how you end class, what starts happening with kids? Come on, you know, they have those little book bags, right? And some of them not so little. They have those book bags, and what they'll start doing is zipping up 5-10 minutes before it's time to go. Zip, 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 zip. There's nothing more annoying than hearing those zippers going, and you're looking going, excuse me, class is not over yet. Well, if you don't teach them how you end class, then they just create their own procedures about it. You know, and if you're a classroom that's not too far from the cafeteria and it's almost getting lunchtime, you know, their brains are going, food, food, I smell rolls. Time to back up. So you got to teach them about this. You know, in some cases, what'll start happening, if you don't have a way to end class, the kids will start lining up the door. You're going, whoa, time out here. What's going on over here, buckos? And they're like, well, you know, we think it's time to go line up at the door. I want to be first out of the class. So you have to teach them how you end class as well. So number one is how you start and end class. Number two, how to transition between activities. Come on. During class, you should change activities. If you go from whole group instruction to small group, well, how do you get there and what procedures do they follow? If you have a reading place in the room, how do they get to the reading place? Where do they sit in the reading place? And how do they come out of it? And what do they go to next? So transitions during the classroom, how do they do this? I've observed some teachers who have little buckets that have all their supplies that they'll need during learning centers. And so specific kids each week or every other week are assigned to the bucket patrol. They're usually called team leaders or something like that. But, you know, they'll know that their name's on the list as a team leader this week. So when they transition to the small group sessions, they go get, or to the learning sessions, they're the one who goes and gets the bucket. And there's a list of things that should be in the bucket, and they check to make sure everything's there, so that there's no problem with everybody having enough supplies. You know, pretty cool, huh? But you have to teach them that. So my number one procedure you should have in place right now is how you start and end class. Number two is how to transition between activities. Number three is if they need to use the restroom while in class, what do they do? You better know what you're going to do about this one. Do you? Have you told the class, or do you just kind of blow it off? Don't do that, because you're going to get into a power struggle there. You're going to have some kids trying to see if they can go to the bathroom every day at the same time. You're going to have other kids that are going to have emergencies. And then you're going to have some kids that it's just to try and see if they can get out of class, you know. So you got to have that one in place. So number one, how you start and end class. Number two, how to transition between activities. My number three procedure you need to have in place now is if they need to use the restroom while in class, what do they do? My number four procedure you need to have in place right now is if I am absent, how do I know what I missed? Or what do I do with my homework when I return? Very important, because kids are going to be absent. And do you have a way of them getting caught up where they automatically know, you know, where to start, I guess. You know, make sure that they say it that way. Just where to start instead of starting with you. Because otherwise, kid will come into class and go, Miss Merletto, yes. Miss Merletto, what did we do yesterday? Well, you know, John, I'm starting class right now. How about you hang on just a minute and I'll get back with you. Well, if you have a procedure in place, 9 times out of 10, that's not going to happen, because they know where to go first. It's if they don't understand it that they're going to need more. And it helps you get them started on it. So, for example, some teachers, what they do is they have a folder. They have a cool set of folders. And maybe each kid has a folder, or maybe it's just a folder that's on the side of the podium, or it's a rack of some sort, a file box. But they have something that's labeled absent, missed work, hey, you're back, something like this, something that the kids can remember, and they know to go there. You know, if they were absent the day before, they go there, they reach in, and they pull out the piece of paper, and it's instructions from you explaining what they need to do to get caught up. Cool, huh? There's some really, really organized teachers out there, and I love stuff like this. So if my number one procedure you need to have in place is how you start in class, my number two is how to transition between activities, number three is if they need to use the restroom while in class, what do they do? Number four procedure you need to have in place now is if I am absent, how do I know what I missed? Well, my number five procedure you need to have in place now is how do I turn in classwork or homework? Because you're going to do this, right? And it may be, you know, if it's homework, they did it the night before. Are you going to do the tried and true, take up, waste time by walking through and collecting it? Or are you going to have a way that they can turn it in, place it in a folder, put it in the little baskets or something like this, so that you don't have to waste time taking it up? Same thing with classwork. How do you take it up? Do you do it differently every time? You know, if you have a way of them doing it, then that way you know when they start getting finished, because kids will get up and they'll place it in there. Once again, you know, I love people who are organized, and Pinterest is full of suggestions like this. If you go to my Pinterest boards about the classroom, you'll see where I've highlighted some teachers who use baskets and folders and things like that to help them be organized and to help the kids know where to place classwork and homework, as well as pick up absentee work. You know, this is enough to start with. There are always those procedures that you have to teach as a result of what happens in the moment or something that is coming up. For example, walking to the media center and how to use the media center. Yeah, that's in the moment. You don't need to tell them that right off the bat. You deal with that when that time is coming. Eating lunch. You know, maybe your class is smack dab in the middle of lunch, and so you have to teach them the procedures of coming back from lunch, going to lunch, that type of thing. But no matter what, that's usually a procedure in the moment. When you get there, you teach it, and then you just reinforce it, and you teach it and practice it from there on out. How about using the hallways? It's not a bad idea, especially in elementary and middle schools, that you teach them, you know, we walk on the right side. We walk on, you know, whatever you do. There's a green line over here. We walk on the green line when we're going this direction and the yellow line going that way. What, you know, the point is that however you have them walk down the hallways, because you're trying to teach them to walk down the hallways, you've got to teach them that at some point as well. How about going on a field trip? Now, obviously, you don't need to have this on the first day, but eventually you're going to have to teach them this, because you have to walk through the hallways to get to the bus and or whatever is going to take you on this field trip. As well as when you come back, there's going to be a procedure in what you do. And in some cases, you know, maybe their lunches are waiting for them in a hallway at a table or in the cafeteria or something like this. No matter what, your school or you've created these procedures, you introduce them to them in the moment. You know, another possibility is how to catch the bus to go home. Now, this might be in your top five for the class procedures, or, you know, that number six that you have to tell them, because that's probably going to happen in that first day or two at school, where you're going to have to teach them how you do the bus stuff, right? In some elementary schools, I see that, you know, the Car riders go one direction and the bus riders go another, and they wait there and the teachers keep them in order as they're waiting on their bus number to pull up or something like that. But no matter what, that is another one that you may have to introduce in the moment, is how to catch that bus. Okay, so, you know, these need to be taught in practice, but do not overload the kids by adding, you know, to your original five. Just start with your original five. And then after that, in the moment type stuff, you can add those. But let them get down those top five procedures that you have for your class. You know, it's not a good idea to introduce them all at the same time. Just that top five. Stay with the most important first. And come on, you can figure out what the most important are. You really can. Some are way more important than others, and you know that. Now, definitely do not have a list of your top 50 classroom procedures. You know, you put it on a poster, you laminate it, and put it up there. Because you're going to cover everything. Don't do that. That just becomes a poster on the wall that kids ignore or forget about. It's just noise over there on that wall over there, and they actually forget about it. Top 50 classroom procedures. You may laugh and say, oh, who would do that? I've seen it. I've seen it. So have you told your kids how you do things? Are there only five, or do you have 50? Well, how about it? As with other aspects of classroom management, you can always start over. Just commit to doing so. And the best time to start over is on a Monday, because you get the weekend to prepare for Monday. You get the weekend to commit. You get the weekend to say, I'm going to do this, and you prepare, and then on Monday you introduce. Right after a weekend is the best time for a do-over with kids, because they're ready to listen to you. Just to review, to implement procedures on how you do things in your classes, you need to tell them your procedures, practice the procedures, review the procedures, and practice again. And here, once again, are my top five procedures that you should have in place in your classroom now. Number one, how you start and end class. Number two, how to transition between activities. Number three, if they need to use the restroom while in class, what do they do? Number four, if I am absent, how do I know what I missed? And number five, how do I turn in classwork or homework? Thanks for listening. Have an awesome day.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the heart of Georgia Precinct.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.